When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. You shouldn't settle for just any old pair of leggings. You deserve something better, something designed with you in mind, like the new Inspire leggings by Kalia. Their most versatile collection yet, made for any workout. They're lightweight, buttery soft, breathable, and made with Lycra adaptive fiber, which molds to your body for a barely there supportive fit. It's perfect for wherever your wellness routine takes you. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Town TV. We are here today to talk the season one finale, The Vampire Academy. But in addition to the usual Brian, Paul, and myself, we have a very fun guest here to help aid the recap. Now, this mystery man is a friend of the pod and an honorary member of Binge Town TV. You may know him from his role as Levitt in one of the greatest TV shows of all time, The 100. CW's Charmed. One of my personal faves, the final season of The Bold Type. But if you're listening to this, I bet you know him as Andre, a.k.a. Mr. Come Back to Life, only to turn Strigoi, Dragonmere. Welcome to your ears, Mr. Jason Diaz.
Wow. Thank you very much for the grand entrance. How are you guys? Happy to be here. Excited to chat season one. It's been a minute, guys.
Happy to have you back on our screens. It took too long throughout season one. At least we got the sprinkles of you. But we were itching for some more Andre for sure.
Yeah, I gotta say I'm a little shocked seeing you, clean shaven right now, because your face is just scarred and bloodied and still right out of the accident. At least the finale they let you grow that beard out a little bit, but no blood. That must have been nice.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, the prosthetics were a lot of fun until they weren't.
Yeah.
Like, that's a long time for a very quick scene. You know what I mean? Like, be in that chair for like, you're there for like 2 hours, you do like a 30-second scene. You're like, all right, sick, let's go take it off.
Well, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but you could have some more prosthetics in your future in some episodes to come. And that is maybe a nice alluding to the end of the episode here.
Yeah, that's going to be sick. I don't know what we're doing with that, to be honest. But whatever it is going to be absolutely sick.
Insane, like mind blown. What a weird chain of emotions from episode end of episode 9 to end of episode 10. It's like, all right, so you just gave it back to us and then you took them away. What the hell's going on? But they kept you in it, at least they kept you a possibility. Thank God.
I know, that broke my heart. I had no idea we were doing that. I got the reveal and then I read it in 10 and I was like, the fuck. You know what it reminded me of? Have you guys seen that the Simpsons meme where, or the GIF or whatever, where the grandfather walks into the restaurant, hangs the hat, and then just dips?
Yep.
Right. Away. I was like, that's literally Andre this season. It's just like, hey.
It was shocking. And if there's one thing like we learned is that Sonya in this episode, like, we kind of thought, wow, maybe she'll turn Strigoi. There's something about Sonya. She's so pure. Like maybe she won't be as bad. No, she absolutely fucks up our dude Vic in this episode. So I have like very low hopes for Andre being an actual, like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter if Sonya wasn't the most pure person of all time. She literally was. I feel like this is, I do see big, good things. Like, you could be like Christian's mom and be running shit, but I don't think you're going to be a good guy. Back to my Ted Bundy theories.
Okay, so first of all, when I heard that, I was like, that's fucking hilarious because it's so correct. And then as soon as you, I just listened today to the episode 9 with you, and you had apologized for thinking that I was a villain, and I was like, well, I got her. What's fun about the podcast today, or with the chat today, is I have literally no idea what we're doing with season 2, so I can speculate all I want, I think.
Of that.
I think. because I have no idea. I have no idea about season two. So these are all just guesses. In my mind, I've written like 9 different seasons of this show. So, but yeah, I don't know what we're doing with Andre the Strigoi version. Like, I know that I want to keep him somewhat similar. Like, hopefully they don't make us all just be mindless Strigoi, because that doesn't seem like it'll be fun.
One of those zombie ones that are just yelling all the time.
Yeah, exactly. But like in episode 9, though, you guys were, I was listening to that moment with Sonya when she got exchanged. And everyone still thinks she's just like one of those rabid Marois, but I don't think they ever actually like, and I don't know this to be true. Like I said, I'm just talking shit here, but like, because theoretically she could have pretended to be manic or rabid to get them to whatever, because Strigoi are still idiots, blah, 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 until it was time to exchange.
Specifically with Vic, I feel like at this point in the series, he kind of had it coming. So that could have been like a mental choice of Sonya. All right, this guy has to go. And we see the Ozeras kind of still have their wits about them. I feel like we could just potentially see like a more aggressive Andre, like as much as he likes to talk shit as it is, which clearly he does. It might just be amped up a little bit, which I wouldn't mind seeing that.
That's what I'm hoping.
It's got to be that. And in this case, you got to play like charming ass Andre for the pilot, a sprinkle up without. And then even in this episode, when Tatiana's like torturing you, like such, so charming, like absolutely hanging from his wrist. So charming. And now you get to be the villain. That's like an actor's dream.
Yeah.
You a guy who could do both.
Absolutely. It's sick. And I'm hoping that next year, I'm hoping we can do some sort of like flashback ish things, because like I really, if there's one thing I wish we got more of this season, it would be more of the Andre Lissa relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's like in like a normal fucking, not a car accident and not turning Strigoi,
yeah,
or not coming back to life moment, you know, just like their actual. That's why I really love that episode 9 scene in Victor's office with Andre and Lissa. So yeah, hopefully we get to do some badass shit next year with the Strigoi, and then hopefully we can do some flashbacks to Playboy Andre or his regular.
Oh, hell yeah. So.
Who is the better butt? Andre or Mason?
That was the question. That was the big question everybody was wondering.
Listen, Mason's got some nice cheeks. I don't know what to say.
A pluses, both of them.
Did they tell you to do anything? Like, did they tell you, all right, just go in there, just drop your pants? Or they're like, all right, squeeze your butt cheeks now. Like, I was like, dude, this is wild. The camera's up in there.
Dude, I have a hilarious story about this, actually. So, yes, it's literally they yell rolling and you just drop your pants. So this is the first like nudity I've ever done on screen. So I was not nervous, but for lack of a better word, nervous about it. And so I'm on set and we're doing it and they're yelling, rolling, whatever. So we're doing scenes and all of a sudden, bro, they yell rolling. I drop my pants and just police sirens start going outside, because we were shooting in a castle. So there's just this blaring police sirens and we're just holding. And I'm like, all right, this would be like 2 seconds. We'll wait this out. Bro, like 5 minutes. Like 5 minutes? Which for me felt like 15 minutes. And I was just like, bro, I literally looked over at Billy, who was directing the first episode, and Marguerite. And I was like, well, I hope they at least catch this fucking guy.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
But yeah, that's how that goes.
Can I pull my pants up now? That's hysterical. And my other question for Andre this season is, are you a fan of Avatar The Last Airbender? You ever watched that when you were younger?
I'm going to break your hearts right now. I've never watched the anime. I watched the god-awful movie, though.
Well, at least you got some of it.
So I know I didn't get a sense of the real thing. That's like watching the Dragon Ball movie and thinking you know
the anime. That's a great comparison, honestly. But all I was going to say, it was probably so cool just to see yourself on screen become like a firebender and just blast that stuff. That was like the coolest moment. And again, they were like, oh, yeah, let's show... show off how badass Andre is and then just take it away again real quick.
Yeah, dude. 100% serious. That was, and probably like it's gonna be hard to top that moment on screen for myself, because Dragon Ball Z, man, was my whole childhood. So to see the fucking the fireball in the hand, I was like, man, that's top moment in my career for sure.
Definitely.
Unless you want to actually cast me as Goku, in which case that would be top.
I mean, yeah. That's the dream.
But it's funny you brought up the Airbender, because Andre DeKim and I, who plays Christian, throughout the season we're chatting about how fucking cool it would be next year. I don't know if you keep your magic once you turn Strigoi. I do not think you do.
One thing we were talking about, and we were like, no idea, but that'd be really cool.
I don't think you keep your magic once you turn Strigoi. But if you do, we were talking about how sick it would be to have like one of those Game of Thrones, the zombie dragon versus the real dragon.
Yeah. Oh my god.
With the blue fire on the regular fire.
Damn. Oh my god.
So sick.
You and Christian just like facing off against each other. Oh my god. That would be insane.
Me and Andre are secretly just writing a Dragon Ball Z movie into
That's this perfect. Show.
Well, I mean, you weren't even supposed to be alive if the books are to be believed, so they can do whatever the hell they want, honestly. And if it's a Strigoi firebender that they want, give the people what they want. I mean, come on.
That's what I'm saying. And I love that, because when I first booked, when I got the audition and I saw the role was Andre and I went to prep it and I started reading the books, and this guy was literally dead as of page one. I'm pretty sure on page one, it's like, Lissa, whose family, Andre, dead. I was like, what the fuck?
All right, I got my character down. Let's, when we shoot. Okay. Yeah.
I was like, oh, just make it up. All right, no problem. And that, well, to be fair, that was actually one of the most exciting parts, too, was that, like, nobody had any preconceived ideas, really, of who Andre was. So I could kind of just do whatever I wanted in terms of what they gave me with the script. Which other actors didn't necessarily have that same kind of freedom, because there was already that, like, Dimitri's supposed to be this and Rose is supposed to be that.
Yep.
So that was sick. That was a lot of fun too. So great decision by Julie Plec, if you ask me, to keep Andre alive.
You can ask me too. I would back that up.
There you go.
I'll never say anything bad about Julie Plec. So you have my blessing.
Yeah, he really won't. Jason, what is the response you've gotten from fans since you weren't supposed to be alive? What's the like reviews?
Honestly, not too much, because I don't really spend too much time on social media these days.
Okay.
Or I try not to. But for the finale and for episode 9, it's been fun. Like, I've been getting some fun, like, no way reactions.
Not as ravenous as the 100 fan base.
Not yet. Yeah, but the 100 fans had 7 years to gear up. We got some more years to go.
There.
But yeah, no, the reaction's been nothing but excitement. Like, I was curious to know how the book fans would take it, because it is such a departure from the books. But everyone's been great. I'm yet to get hate mail, guys. No hate mail yet. But I'm a Strigoi next season, so maybe I'll get tons of it.
The people who've been interacting with us on Twitter and such have been angels. They answer every question we pose on the pod. They answer within 2 seconds. They got our back. So they're great. And it is a departure from the 100 fans, which were tweeting some crazy things at us at some point.
Yeah, it's such a like a positive fan base that I've noticed. Like, the few times that I go on and everything people send me on Twitter, everything's always positive. So.
So near the beginning of this podcast, did I hear you say something about Kathleen's previous opinions about Dimitri? Did I hear that right? You refer to Dimitri and Rose as Dimitri? And
if
you disagree with Kathleen, how so?
That is the ship name, correct?
Correct.
We'll allow it.
All right. I really like Rose and Dimitri. My thing with Rose and Dimitri is it's more about, like, Dimitri came in, right, to be Lissa's guardian. Where'd my man go? My sister's been on her own for like 5 episodes, bruh.
These Royal Moroi can't be tamed. Everyone, they're just running off and doing whatever the fuck they want, is what it is.
This is true, which, I mean, leads me to, like, Jesse. Jesse is one of my favorite characters on the show, man. That guy is hilarious.
Oh, my God. That is a hot take. That is the hottest take you could say.
But the thing is, like, if you know fucking Joseph Ullman and, like, who Joseph actually is versus the character of Jesse just makes one of my favorite characters on the show. It's absolutely hilarious.
So how is the actor different from the character?
Because he's such an innocent, like, goofball-y character. Like, he's such a sweetheart of a guy. And I'll never forget, I was in we were shooting one of the episodes and we were at a hotel, and some guest stars for that episode specific were also staying at the hotel, but we'd never met them, right? So I go into the lounge, and Joe's sitting there, and I'm like, hey, and there was another group behind them, and they were like looking at me, and I was like, oh, I wonder if they're on the show. Like, I've never seen them before. So I lean over to Joe and I'm like, hey dude, are they on the show? And this fucking guy turns around. He's like, oh, them? Oh, yeah, they're on the show. I was like, this fucking guy, dude.
That's awesome.
You're on blast.
Like, immediately. But then looked at me and was like, what's the problem? What I do? Genuinely did not do it, like, to be like, aha. He was like, oh, them?
He's such an innocent guy. And then you get his character in the show who's like, sneaking out, apparently, like, draining humans to the point of death, and then just getting his nuts grabbed by his father constantly, getting the shit beat out of him.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting character, man. I'm excited to see where they go with him.
This was a big episode for his development. Lots more layers to peel back in season two.
Yeah, that's a big step there, deciding to lock his dad out of the car. What's his dad's name? Dane. To lock Dane out of the car.
Daddy Zeklos.
Yeah.
Lord Daddy Zeklos.
Lord Daddy Zeklos.
Yeah. Lord Daddy Zeklos.
Daddy.
Dead Lord Daddy Zeklos.
Yeah, he may be a stripoid too. He got what he deserved. He really did.
I mean, I don't think one person was like, oh man, I really like Dane. I wish
that was my favorite. character.
Early in the episode, he uses another freaking council member as a human shield or a vampire shield, you say. Yeah, like, this guy is a fucking dick.
How about that same scene where Tatiana is like, 1 second to the damn pier, lets him chill for like 10 seconds, then it's like, all right, go in, like, save him. Like, hey,
so we got to make sure at least one of them die. Give it a second.
Make it dramatic. And that brings up like a huge question: did we always know that she was just like controlling those higher guardians? Like, why did they just listen to her? And like, unless they're all in on it, like,
so. I don't know. I don't know, actually, because that was actually a question that I had when I watched the episode. I was like, wait, I mean, maybe because she was like the runner up for queen and Victor's nowhere to be seen. So
yeah,
perhaps there's a temporary default of power or something.
So we also learned that Tatiana can fight like a damn peer with which Andre comments about, maybe like in her past, she catered some respect within the Dampier community because she trained with them. I don't know what's going on there, but that means something that she can scrap.
Yeah. I honestly wish I had an answer for you on this one, because that is like, I don't know what she is. I don't know if she, I don't know what her tie to the Strigoi is.
As of
why is she working with the Ozeras? I don't think we know that yet.
As a viewer, what is your opinion of Tatiana? Do you respect, you know, the political savviness and baller moves that she's making? Or are you just like, fuck this girl, she's after my little sister?
I love Tatiana as a villain. I think AJ is a badass. I hate her.
Of course, naturally.
But I love what AJ does with Tatiana. I think it's a really well-written character, I think. I think her plan makes sense. Because sometimes you watch shows and like, your plan doesn't make any sense. What is, like, you know? I think her plan makes sense. And I don't think we've heard the whole plan yet. Because, like, they haven't revealed any of her background besides the fact that she is niece to High Priestess.
Yes,
I think it's great. And I, to be honest, I don't know why she ever tried diplomacy in the first place. Actually, as I say it, I've answered my question. If you can do it without bloodshed, why not? Might as well. But
she was probably begging for it. She wanted the bloodshed.
Yeah, really.
And her she was played so well. You know, she was always so confident. Even the first episode, the little glimpse of you got at her. And I was thinking, you know, maybe that's why the Guardians listened to her at the end. They were like, shit, dude, she's like really confident about like telling us to wait. It's like, maybe she knows something we don't.
That was a very assertive hand motion. I just felt the sense.
I mean, we can kind of talk through the Tatiana Andre storyline, because I said it on episode 9. I thought that the reveal of Andre and Tatiana, that was just like such a sick reveal. I had no idea she was going to be working with the Strigoi. I always thought she was kind of using the Strigoi to her advantage, but I didn't think she was going to be fucking working with the Strigoi. So her walking you through the plans and being like, you're going to teach me, to basically torturing you, being like, teach me how to be queen or Lyssa gets it, is like, was so sick. I loved that whole entire thing. And then the moment you realize that she doesn't actually want to stay queen and rule, it's so, I'm like, what the fuck is her motive? What does she want to do? What is being the queen give you that she couldn't do otherwise? Do you guys have any guesses? We can all speculate now.
All I can say is that this episode, they introduced a third faction, which is the Alchemists, who may or may not have been those people we saw mid-season who came in after the Strigoi attack there. I'm not sure if they're the same people, but they seem powerful and not to be trifled with. And maybe they are part of Tatiana's bigger designs. But, you know, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly who the Alchemists are. I think those, the gold tattoo crew are the Alchemists. I believe that's right.
No, yeah.
So that entire sequence with AJ was, I love that. I thought it was great. The scenes that we filmed were more of like an interrogation feel, whereas in the edit, it ended up being more of like a montage sequence almost. It was great. I think the dynamic between Andre and Tatiana is great because she has all the power. This is a theme with all my bookings, man. I just get like my ass whooped by badass women that just string me up for fucking 6 months at a time.
Hey, if you're into that.
You know?
I'm into watching it.
He has like, you know, he's in this weird, like that. The thing that was fun about it was you're in this position where it's like he doesn't want to reveal anything that he considers relevant or important to actually assist her. He's given her information that he thinks is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. You know, like he didn't think she was going to go and murder our entire bloodline to not have a quorum.
Hardcore.
Brutal.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, like A plus for commitment, I guess, but that's just, Andre didn't think that was in the cards, man. So, because I have seen that. I've seen people that are like, so this fucking guy just told her everything? And I was like, well, no, that wasn't.
Yeah.
She was sneaky,
there's no way like he would just give that away. Like she was in like the worst situation. It's like, all right, I either don't give Tatiana anything and just Lyssa dies, or I slowly give her information over time to basically take out Lyssa and the rest of the family. It's like, all right, obviously you're going to take the one where you can try to like drag it out as long as you can. But exactly what you're saying, you just like had to give her enough information to get her off your back for a little bit until she came back and asking for more. And it's like worst possible situation for you there, like mentally.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And also hoping that in the meantime, somebody like figures this situation out while I'm just chilling, strapped up in this, whatever that thing was.
Yeah, I was getting beat up by Christian's mom.
Yo, so much fun. So much fun. I cannot wait to do like real stunts next year. I'm going to be the calmest Strigoi you've ever seen, and I don't see a single fucking thing. I just stand there looking menacing the whole time.
Yeah,
I was gonna compliment your shit housing because you were totally coaxing her on, just like, ha, not supposed to kill me yet.
Yeah,
so well played.
Thank you. Yeah, that was fun. I'm really glad that they. I love the energy and the sarcasm and the sense of humor that they gave Andre. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to play, which is why I hope we don't get rid of it next year. Yeah, I think he's such a fun like banter character. Like he's just such a little shit.
Yeah, he's so witty and quick with it, with every response too, is the best part. Not even just in this scene, like in episode 9 when you were talking about in Victor's office when, you know, Liz is just pouring her heart out. And he's like, wah, just like sarcastically, yeah. Like in around like cry me a river. And I loved in this scene too, in 10, when you're like, you're smirking, you're like, ah, you can't kill me yet. Like she storms out and then like your face changes. Like, oh, fuck, that kind of hurt actually. Yeah. That was so good.
Yeah, man. That little part was hilarious because the owl originally was because the fucking wire that they had me strung up from just pinched the shit out of me. Like, dude, I could have sworn. I was like, yeah, that definitely cut me for sure. Did not. I was just being a baby. But like, I was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, oh, wait, that works. That makes sense. I mean, that makes sense. Let's keep that.
That's incredible.
What was the first half of your question?
I was just talking about on how like how quick he is like with responses and how witty he is in that scene with Alyssa when he's just like, wah.
Yeah, no. So what I was going to say, I love that we showed that. There was originally in the pilot, I don't know if anyone has said this. I think I'm allowed to say this. I don't see why not. There was a deleted scene or a cut scene that didn't make the edit. So after Andre romances Tatiana in the closet. So the reason he has to leave is because it's like he has to be there for the Queen's happy birthday song, whatever. So we shot a scene where Andre arrives by the Queen as they're blowing out the candles, and then he gives this big speech addressing the guests at the Queen's birthday party. And they cut it, and I was so disappointed that they cut it because it was the only scene in the first season that really showed the like Andre knows his shit side of it, like that kingly side, because you hear about it all season, but you never see it, right? You just hear, like, all you see is that he was great at romancing and also that he likes to talk shit and joke around, but you don't see that like kingly, that like I can run a dominion kind of vibe. And so they dropped that scene, so that is what I'm looking forward to next season as well, is showing, hopefully we get to show some of like the leadership qualities, because you hear so much about it but you haven't seen it.
Yeah, person pretty... to turn Strigoi. It actually is a great point.
You're gonna
might be a strategical advantage, we'll see.
So speaking of one leader, why don't we go to the other leader? Oh my gosh, leader. Our queen. Did we know her name was Marina?
I think they just dropped that. Said okay. It before.
Yeah. Either way, RIP. I thought she had a pretty solid death and was just importing all of her queenly wisdom onto Lissa while she's freaking out. And this entire season, I just fell in love with the queen character. Kathleen, you said her line reads were just so money. Last episode, we're fucked, aren't we, Harold? Like, come on, this chick doesn't give a shit and was just a great character. So RIP to her.
Yeah, it's probably a really fun scene to shoot in episode 1. You've been talking to her.
Yeah, really though.
Yeah, Pixie is a G. That lady is hilarious. I remember the first table read. I can't remember what the line was, but as you were saying what her line read, she just had this one little witty line that she came out with, and I was sitting right beside her and I was just dying. But it was one of those, like, you know, when you're trying not to laugh because we were on Zoom with like all the producers of Peacock. And so it was literally the first table read and I'm sitting there like a jackass, just like in my shirt, trying not to laugh.
Yeah, but that's what you want. You want the people in the room to be like, that's a good line. That's a great line.
He's like, oh, that's a good, too good. Get him out of here. she was great, man. I thought she was fantastic all season. And I thought as a character, I thought the queen was dope too. Like the way, like it makes sense to me the way the queen was writing that line, because it's like she got her pick, which was Lissa. That didn't go anywhere. You don't get a second pick. Now it's like, now you have the Game of Thrones, so to speak. So, she was great. And I actually, that last scene with the queen and Lissa was fantastic. And then even at the end, that little line that she has where she's like, well, I bloody well hope not.
Yeah.
Was adorable as well. She's the cutest lady in the history
of ladies.
Of ladies. She's the best one ever.
Well, She really did slay for like 10 episodes straight every time she was on screen, but not even in her death, like through walls, she saved Lissa one last time with her air bending powers. Like, how the fuck did she do that? Yeah, how? Tell me. I'm calling a little BS on that, but I loved every second of it.
It's magic.
She was so in tune with her surroundings that she knew exactly where she needed to shoot that last little wind.
It was just down the tunnel. The wind has nowhere to go but the tunnel walls.
She could have just took Lissa straight out, just like whomped her right down.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know why the wind didn't affect Lissa.
So I was looking for it because I was like, this is a little ridiculous. But Lissa did like step through a doorway. So she was no longer in the tunnel. So at least that tracks.
Okay. Okay. Good, good, good. Because I was going to say that would be hilarious. Lissa just
I will say the guardian who was the guardians were so quick to be like, there's no doctors, and also I have to leave.
Yeah.
Okay, see ya.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you're poisoned.
Not much we can do.
So anyways, I'm in a dip. You guys are good here, right? Oh, we're not. Fuck the future queen. We're gonna leave her right there.
That was my point. Like, you're just, I get you're going to fight, but isn't your goal to protect like the one in line, which is right next to you? It was weird. Oh,
yeah. Well, I think there were still guards outside that door because when Lissa was coming down, there were some dead ones, and I'm assuming that's Dragoy Hedges.
I got you.
I think that guy was the queen's personal guardian.
Yeah.
The way all royals have. Mm-hmm. So like he left her, but I think Lissa's people were still.
Yeah, that was actually one of the questions I had, you know, going into this. Not that you will have the answer, but I was like, what happened to that guy? Because she called him by, I think his name was like Felix. Mm-hmm. And he was like one of the best guardians ever. And I was like, what happened to him? I wanted to see him kicking some ass.
So I'm assuming he died. And here's why. Because he knows that Lissa didn't poison the queen.
Yes, and that was going to be my other point. Like, all right, Tatiana's starting this whole rumor, but there's people that were there that, you know, saw the body, but I guess Tatiana
So unless they are alive, and we'll get to that in season two, or they're dead because they would know that. So,
and that just screws up
Tatiana's whole shit. Yeah, that just screws up Tatiana's whole shit. I mean, I would be scared to speak up.
Before we come off the Andre stuff, because I will circle back to it, I wanted to say you were talking about doing stunts. I literally have in my notes, like, does this man do his own stunts? Because you were tied up, you ripped it down, you immediately did the wrist, you like went to the thing, sparked the flint or whatever, flames, barrel roll out of the door. Like, it was like a pretty sick montage for only having and them only letting you have like two good episodes of you being alive. You fucking crushed, because that was sick.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad how you hype this up, because I'm going to chat about that, like hanging / jumping off and all that bit, not the barrel roll, because I'll get to that too. It's a sore spot. So the drop down, that was one take. We had no time in the day left. They were like, all right, so you have to drop one time. And I was like, what the fuck? Okay. So we're hanging there. And when we were filming it, it was a real, like, heavy ass hook, and I had asked the director, I'm like, yo, that's not like the hook that's fallen, right? Because,
it's above me.
Yeah, because, like, you know, no. And he was like, yeah, that's the hook. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, like, we're gonna swing you forward and then we're gonna drop it and you're gonna fall. And I was like, all right, cool. So we filmed like the rest of the takes we had with me just hanging there, and this whole time in the back of my mind I was like, dude, there's no fucking way that's the hook we're using. It turns out it was not the hook we were using. So I was like, you little shit, man. I've been sitting here for like 2 hours stressing about this hook. And then it ended up being only one take. And I was like, oh, sick. But with the barrel roll, Jesse, who shot episodes 4 and 5, came back to do pickup shots for the pilot. So he's the one who filmed the car accident scene. And I actually have to drop some stuff on my Instagram because there's great stuff that never made the cut. But one of them is you see a close up of Andre smashing his face on the limo. Because that big because like that like horror version of Andre is supposed to be like the car accident version of Andre, yeah. Right? So like we never saw how we got that giant whatever. So like there was a scene where I close up smashed my face. Long story short, I actually smashed my face, and I had like this big ball on my forehead for like 2 days. And so Jesse didn't want to. So Jesse was then doing the pickup shot of me doing the barrel roll. So he didn't want to let me do the barrel roll. And I was big mad. I was like, Jesse, I was like, I can't claim to do all my stunts if you don't let me do a fucking barrel roll out of here.
So that wasn't you?
No. So he didn't let me do it. So I did some like shitty version of like just rolling and then to get up. But no, I did not come through the door because he didn't let me.
Damn, it was a sick barrel roll.
It was dope. It was dope. It wasn't me.
Yeah, whoever did that is the man. God.
Yeah, that epic look back in the commercial, that was all me. That was all me.
Yes, yeah, just faded commercial, perfect. I mean, you look like an old woman, you know, hiding underneath.
Yo, my wife, Kim, laughs at me all the time. She's like, it reminds me of a Disney cartoon with the cape just floating in the background as you run away.
Yep, absolutely. It's hysterical.
You got to protect the face at all time, at all costs. It is what it is. It's the moneymaker.
But it's a barrel roll. It wasn't a dive.
I don't know, man. Maybe Jesse made the right call. God forbid something happened.
Or even worse, I would just get stuck on the door. Like, the door wouldn't break. He'd be like, see, I told you there was a reason.
So coming out of the barrel roll scene, it seems like Andre goes to light. It was a pretty quick shot. It's when you get attacked by the Strigoi, but you just blast them with fire, but you're coming into or out of an apartment and you kind of like lock it and hide the key. That seemed noteworthy, like a special apartment or that you were acquiring something. Maybe that's where you got the little disc that you handed to Lissa. And I kind of want to bring that up because do you have any theories about that disc specifically that you can share? I don't know if you're privy to what it means or what.
So one, that's just the crib. That's Andre's.
Where?
That's Andre's pad. Two, that is exactly what he went there to get. And cool. Also a fresh new outfit. And so he got whatever that is, obviously. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is obviously explains whatever he assumes Tatiana to be. And I genuinely don't know more than that. To be honest, I'm not sure if there is a certain, like a positive answer as to what that is yet, but it's exciting because I don't think Tatiana is just like a Dompier or whatever. I think she is something separate, and I think if you watch Julie Plex work, she does like to really expand the universes a lot. So I do think if I had to guess, I don't think Tatiana is a regular person of that like regular community. So
I'm in.
Twice in the show with Andre scenes, I've said famous last words. Like, everything bad's about to happen. One in the car, Lissa's like, this is the best day of my life. Everything's amazing. Crash. Two, you grab Lissa's shoulders in this episode and you're like, I'll tell you everything in time. Flop. No way. Strigoi. Like, I was like, come the fuck on.
Yeah, dude, no. I was so sad that there wasn't a bit more of that Andre and Lissa reunion. I really like Andre and Lissa together. I don't know really why I like it so much together. I think it's just I really like working with Danny. And I think the lore of this show is so cool. And for me, I really enjoyed the political storyline that they had. I thought that was a lot of fun. And so like, it's just an interesting dynamic to have Andre back. I mean, less so now, I guess, because he's Strigoi. So I don't see them welcoming him with open arms.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be hilarious? Andre just doesn't change at all. He's just like, no, I'm chilling. What's up? He's like, oh, this? Don't worry about it. I'm cool.
Just keep me out of the sunlight. I'm good.
I don't want to skip over that the Lissa and Andre reunion because that was actually really good. I don't know how many takes that took, but it the end product was fucking perfect. It was honestly, I was like tearing up a little bit. I've been emotional lately. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I was like, oh my god! Like, can you imagine like your sibling is dead, and then all of a sudden they just appear in front of you out of nowhere? Like, how would you react? And of course, she was like, oh yeah, I'm fucking crazy. I'm just seeing stuff. Mm-hmm. But like that, the emotional act. There with was insane as soon as you know that trigger flipped.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you, and Danny crushed it that day. That poor girl had to cry a lot.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna say that
poor girl had to cry a lot that day. Yeah, I love that they added that she thought it was the Vision Andre that she's been seeing. I think that just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I love that they had Mia there for mm-hmm. Andre to just be like, what's up? And then just go back. We're just doing Mia dirty. I don't know why Andre just keeps shitting on Mia, but he does.
Weren't we supposed to be married? Oh, yeah, what's up, by the way?
Yeah, you know, that was my favorite. When we hang on, I'm going to finish my thoughts on this Lissa scene first. and then, yeah, I think the actual reunion, I'm very happy with how it turned out. I'm glad you guys liked it. But, yeah, when I read it, I was like, that's like... We're just going to interrupt it just like that. He just dies again. but it creates such a heartbreaking like character arc for Lissa. This girl literally had this guy die twice. And in the span of like 5 minutes, not even, he resurrected and died again. Yeah. This time literally in front of her as she like, you know. But yeah, I thought it came out really good. Very happy with that. And hopefully, like I said, I hope that next year Andre and Lissa get a lot of stuff.
Well, you're right. The acting for Lissa, like post the scene, she did an amazing job of feeling like there's nothing left. Like she was already giving all of her light to those who need to be healed anyway, let alone seeing your brother die for a second time. So A+. I agree. I wish you two got more scenes because I just thought in general, I think Andre with Lissa would have just like deepened Lissa's character a little more. By the end, I was full in on Lissa's character again. But in the middle, she was probably like consistently her storylines, or at least her parts in it, were probably like my least favorite. Not that they weren't all good. I loved it all, but I was like, oh, was noticing that it wasn't as like every time Rose is on the screen, she's like kicking someone's ass or like doing something that I'm like, oh, this is fucking good and hot and good. I love it. But with Lissa, I feel like it took some time. I think Andre would have helped with that. I mean, Rose is really Lissa's only like deep connection, and they had seemed to separate a lot during it. But her and Christian, again, were brand new. You can tell they're brand new. They don't have, to me, they didn't have like that deep, deep connection that Andre and Lissa would have had that goes back. Yeah. And her parents are dead. And so I think Lissa's character had an uphill battle this season, obviously, but I was glad by the end. I think it set it up for a perfect season two. But yeah,
on that, yes, I agree. I think season two is going to be sick with where they left everything. Mm-hmm. but also I agree. And I think Lissa, with the Lissa character, you also had a lot to set up this season.
Oh,
you have to set up the relationship with Christian. You have to set up the not specializing, and then the discovery of spirit. And then you had all the family stuff with Andre. And then you can include Rose as family in that if you want. And then also you have to deal with the political stuff. So it is a lot. Like, it's a lot.
100%.
In that character arc, which is why like it does pay off nicely at the end. So.
I think the actress crushed at what they gave. I just thought that by the end, her character was finally like in a spot where I'm like, fuck yeah. Like the spirit stuff was coming too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the show itself was at a climax of just fucking like from 8, 9, 10. They were just all rise, but I feel like 8, 9, 10, Meatball and Brian were just like, let's fucking go after every episode. So. As the show itself, it just built itself up. So I'm glad Lissa's in a good spot now. I mean, she's not in a good spot. She's in a shitty spot, but.
Right. But yeah.
Good TV.
I just, for me, I think, and I love the first four episodes, but the first four episodes are very much setting up what the season is to be. For me, episode 5 to 10 slaps. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I still think episode 5 is one of my favorite episodes of this season.
Which one was that?
That's the one where Max dies. Mikhail.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
Strigoi, Mikhail, they made him look good.
Yeah, he was sick.
Yeah, with the piercing red eyes.
And so, like, that's my question is because of seeing that. LOL, I'm over here doing my acting homework with you guys now. But I'm assuming, or my guess is that when you first turn Strigoi, it takes time to evolve into Christian's parents, like a more intelligent.
Definitely.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like there is a period of where you're Mikhail and you're just that, like, rabid Strigoi, and then if you live long enough, you become more evolved.
What did you think? I don't know if you heard our theory that, like, Mikhail was such a strong Strigoi because he was a very well-respected and strong Dampier. Do you think there's something to that, or all Strigoi equal? Or if you were a strong dude before, are you a strong Strigoi?
Honestly, I'm not. I hope so, because I think Andre was strong. So Andre would be
looking good, yes.
And second, I honestly don't know, because if I'm being honest, I think the Strigoi power levels have been a little unclear.
Yep. Hard to read, definitely.
I'm pretty sure we literally say in one episode that it takes multiple Dampier to kill a Strigoi, and then literally we're making jokes while killing Strigoi in the finale. So I'm like, there's a bit of like I don't know what the power there is. It might be that if you are a stronger normal dude, when you turn Strigoi, you become a super powered Strigoi. Yeah. I'm not sure. There might be a reason for that. I have no idea.
Classes
of Strigoi.
Yes, definitely. And we were even talking about saying maybe like if a royal turns, that's different than, you know, if a normal Moroi turns, like maybe a royal would have like all this intelligence like locked in. But exactly what you're saying, like even with Sonya, she was super feral in the beginning, but this, we saw a little bit of restraint, almost her like trying to talk, but I don't know, maybe that was just her showing her fangs. But I definitely see like a Strigoi Andre just like being what we talked about, just actually like coordinating shit and being intelligent. And it would be interesting to see if he has any humanity. Well, not humanity, vampanity. Is that what you call it? Like for Lyssa, for his family left, or if he really is like Christian's parents, because Christian's parents are just like, hey, Christian, fuck you.
Literally.
I feel like it would be a lot more fun if he did, right? Or was this like, I'm going to kill you, but like, I don't want to kill you, but like, I'm going to kill you, because probably Strigoi's wanting to kill people. So that's what I would imagine is going to be happening. I also just remembered that Julie Plec, so I can't get in trouble, Peacock Universal, whoever else could potentially listen, released a statement about Andre next season that I can't actually read, and I forgot about that. Have you guys seen this?
No. Hell yeah.
So basically it was, we thought it was interesting. Here is this man who had all this natural charisma and leadership abilities. Check. leadership abilities, who was bred to be king. And at the end of the season in which we see the Strigoi mobilizing and strategizing for the first time ever in their evolution, what could the Strigoi army look like under the rule of a man like Andre Dragon?
Wow.
So potentially we lead the Strigoi. Who knows?
Fuck yeah.
We
need that Peacock renew confirmation.
Announcement.
No. Don't even talk to me about this. Every day I look at my girl. Is it going to renew yet? No, not yet. I'm like, let me message Daniela. Now she's like, let me message Kieran. I'm like, yo, does anybody know if this thing's been renewed yet? Unfortunately, we do not. So I am anxiously anticipating that. Although I feel like we have to, no?
I have faith. The fans are very loyal.
Yeah. And I feel like it hit well. I mean, I don't know, like numbers wise, I have no idea. But in terms of audience reception, I feel like it hit well. So hopefully we get that announcement sooner than later.
Also, like with a name like Julie Plec, I feel like you can move forward knowing that she has had other like very successful projects. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I feel like it's a slam dunk.
Absolutely. If you're going to bet on anyone, I mean, someone like Julie Plec seems like a very safe bet.
Yeah, right.
She's done it, especially with this genre. She's done it so many times. Like, show me a flop that Julie Plec has put out.
Literally. Can't do it.
Exactly. So, and it's season one. And now that her and the rest of the writing room has everything set up and in place to where they want it to go, I think season two is going to be sick. I love where everyone ends up. I love that Christian is now
a monk.
Yeah, Christian's now a monk.
Head of his family. So he's kind of like
head of his family. But so is Jesse, is now head of his family, I believe.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have some of that back and forth in like the political thing. Perhaps there might not even be a political thing under Tatiana's reign. What am I trying to say? I keep saying a thing. Like,
well, they could be like the new victor trying to fight the oppressive. Not that Marina was oppressive, but there were oppressive people on the council. So they could be the voice of reason and goodness fighting against Tatiana. So that could be a really good narrative to follow in season two.
Yeah, exactly. There's that. Rose and Lyssa are on the run with Rose's dad's phone number.
Wild.
I thought that was a beautiful, like, we started the series knowing that Rose and Lyssa just wanted to get the fuck out of there. They're like, let's go. Let's live our lives. Let's be besties. And they didn't get that. And they've had some big turmoil. And there, some of the Rose and Lyssa scenes are some of my favorite just because I love friendship. So I'm hoping we get more of that. Seems kind of silly because the show is literally about these two. But they did spend a lot of time separate. But to finish my thought, closing out with them leaving, even though that it's not, they're getting literally forced out. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like a beautiful way to end. They wrapped it up like absolutely chef's kiss. And Rose's dad was a great reveal. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Who we getting as the actor?
Yeah,
that's Rose's dad.
I agree. I think Rose's mom is awesome. Lorna? It's Lorna, right? No. I think that's what's her name? Janine. Lorna is her actual name, I believe.
Janine.
Janine is awesome as well. I think she was such a badass, that lady. But I don't know where the girls are off to. I think it's awesome that like they wanted to leave for like party life and now it's the complete opposite, but they're getting to leave anyway. And also Lyssa, I don't think Lyssa knows what happened to Andre. I mean, like, maybe because, like, I think she sees Moira, like, feed him the blood, but she doesn't have, like, confirmation that he is a Strigoi. So that would be, I look forward to that reveal. And
yeah, definitely. She's probably just handling things one at a time right now. Like, oh, fuck. She's
she's going to be like, can I stop having Andre drama in my fucking life, please?
Yeah, I thought I was over it. I was good.
Died twice. Now he's back. Jesus Christ.
I thought for sure that when Andre gets chomped, it was going to be like the Dimitri thing where they're like, the Heil die down, like just chill here. And I was like, oh my God, he is just sitting there like a big center cut piece of steak, like just waiting to get fucking rocked. And then the mom came in and that's amazing. But that was scary because anytime a Strigoi walks in, I'm like, these dampiers are going to get their ass beaten.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Strigoi look cool, eh?
Yeah.
The Strigoi looks sick.
Yeah, but anyway, I did think it was just going to be like, oh, you're bitten, you're just out of commission, and we're not going to hear more about Tatiana. I thought at least Christian's mom, I mean, Tatiana literally gave orders, don't kill him. Technically, she didn't kill you, she just turned you Strigoi, which is basically the same fucking thing, but I mean... Tatiana's either going to be really pissed about that or she's pretty sure that you're going to be able to give counsel even as a Strigoi. Because I feel like Tatiana definitely still needs you.
So my question is, what is Andre's vibe when he wakes up as Strigoi? Does he partner up with Moira and Tatiana? Is he out to get Moira and Tatiana? I don't know what they're doing with that. I don't think there's any sort of like sire bond type thing with Tatiana, right? So it's like, I don't think I would wake up and just be like, oh. So I don't know. I might be out to get Tatiana. I might not even be after Lyssa and Rose next year. I might be after Tatiana and Moira next year. I have no idea.
I didn't even think of that.
It does seem like
here for.
It does seem like the Strigoi at the very least ride for each other. So, like, you wouldn't be anti-Strigoi, at least, when you woke up Strigoi. But
maybe. He could,
but
be.
Maybe, you know, you're a very special Strigoi, Andre Dragomir.
Well, they do call it. They do say the Strigoi call it an awakening, right? So it could very well be one of those things where he wakes up and realizes that it's all been bullshit.
Yeah, that you would know? Be nuts. I have a feeling you and Victor are gonna wake up next to each other and be like, "Holy shit!"
That'd,
like
that'd be sick. We're starting the fucking Strigoi Avengers.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that he could still be alive and just, well,
yeah,
that he could be Strigoi too. You read that was a pretty off scene death or whatever. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what a downfall for Victor. Like that just, he was like this and then he just went womp. Like,
dude, he was
one of the best.
He was the king. He was Big Dick Vic. I was like hyping him up so much.
I'm going to be honest. Yo, controversial takes all day. I was like, is there really anything wrong with what Vic is doing here? I was like, yeah, I get it. It's not nice. But I'm like, yo, this is a guy who literally his daughter turned Strigoi so he could become king. He doesn't know that it's an option that Lyssa's gonna go back and be like, give me back. There's no take backs in the fucking Game of Thrones. What's happening? So she goes and she gets the throne back. He didn't know that was an option. So he's like, yo, Tatiana is going to get the throne. Sonya is going to go Strigoi for nothing. He's like, yo, fucking Lyssa, take a nap for an hour and heal me real quick.
That's your sister, dude.
If he continued to make her heal him afterwards, then maybe.
Yes. I agree, man. Sonya was the one pushing it. Like, I'm going to heal you. You even go back and look. And he was like, look, you're tired. Like, you recover. And she's like, no. I got you. I'm not going to lose you, too. So it's like, come on, I mean, it's like, not that bad.
He didn't put up like a fight. But he sure did imply that he would like her not to do it.
Oh, come on, stop it. Don't heal me.
No, where? On the couch? Okay.
After he had such a bad last episode, I did really appreciate that at two points in this episode, he was like, Mia, can you ever forgive me? And I don't even think she says a word to him, just like heel turns, walks the other way. And he says the same thing to Strigoi Sonya, who literally kills him after not saying a word. So those were just too satisfying. Nah, dude, you fucked up big time. We do not forgive you.
Yeah, but speaking of Mia, give her props for this episode and the season. With the scenes she's got, she fucking crushes.
And killing it.
And she's going to regret in season two not saying anything to her dad and not forgiving him or not talking to him. Because now he's a Strigoi or he's dead as fuck. So that's going to be more sad scenes for Mia. But she's so good. Her and Meredith were great this episode. I'm glad they finally reunited. And we're like good to go. I mean, they're all fucking depressed and shit.
They were good to go for a while, Kathleen. Come on. We all saw the hospital scene.
And my poor boy Mason just kept getting cuffed all season and then broke his back. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Literally, nice guys finish last is what I'm getting from with Mason.
And then you get your ass beat and your back broken. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah. This poor guy. He's the one leading the charge to protect him. And then he's like casualty number one.
Yeah, this poor guy. I mean, he took out some Strigoi. That flying knee or whatever he was doing there.
That was all right. Before we move on from Meredith, can we talk about the freaking tunnels? Like, what are these tunnels? Why does this girl know about them? And my immediate reaction was when we saw the alchemist symbols in there was like, are her parents alchemists or something? And she's leading this double life. I almost thought, because like you said, Julie Plec loves to expand the world. It's like, is she a werewolf? Are they bringing werewolves into this bitch? Like, she's got something going on. And I'm glad she has like a little secret to be revealed.
So this is what they say. The alchemist symbols, like per the human treaty, it's their job to keep us secret in the human world and to provide Meroy with feeders. Which is lit, because I was truly like, who, if there's a human treaty and humans don't know, how the fuck are humans like in here being feeders? Two, I was thinking Meredith must be some sort of descendant of an alchemist too, but what are they? If they hate Dan Pierce and Meroy like they say they do in this, what the fuck could it be? And how is Meredith born out of that if they aren't one of those two? You know what I mean?
Yes. So first of all, I would assume there's definitely something going on there. Like, she's just the only person. I mean, until Janine just randomly shows up in the tunnel. But she is, before that, the only person that knows about these tunnels. And they're alchemist tunnels. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Is she an alchemist? Did she escape from alchemists? Like, from what I understood in that episode, like 7, when they're seeing that the mystic lady, whatever her title was, because they come to like get rid of the bodies and stuff. So they do like vampire world cleanup. So,
oh my God, so sick. Like,
yeah.
Done.
I know.
I feel like it would kind of.
That was a very nice whistle, by the way. That translated beautifully.
Thank you.
It would kind of track that she's an alchemist because people aren't allowed to just leave the Dominion whenever they want, but it seems like the damn peer higher ups are just like, yeah, whatever, Meredith's out on leave visiting her family. And they said that only like the highest of the highs know about the alchemists. So like maybe they would just be like, yeah, go do your alchemist business. We'll just cover for you. Say you're visiting your mom. Like, so nobody gets suspicious.
Well, I don't know why she, like, if she was an alchemist, why would she be pretending to be a Dampier? Like, they are apparently more, are like, the way Dimitri speaks of them makes me think that they're more powerful than Dampier. So why would she be, like, pretending and then also getting her ass whooped by Rose?
That's fair.
You know, I feel like with the way Dimitri spoke about alchemists, I'm assuming they're badasses, so.
Yeah. Maybe B-Tom's what you're saying. She's, like, the liaison between the alchemists. She like gets the feeders to bring them into the castle or something like that.
The feeders just leave the wards, right? And go like out into the world.
So many questions, so little answers. I'm trying to remember like how Dampiers are even made. Can you make a human one? I don't think you can.
Okay, I got you.
Oh, please.
I've been listening to your reviews, and I was like, bro, you guys got to figure this out, man.
Right. Yes, this is a finale. It's the finale. We don't even fucking know.
So, per my understanding, the original Dampier was made when a vampire mated with a human. They are considered... I'm blanking on the word here, but it's frowned upon. Like, you're not supposed to mate with humans. It's considered disgusting, whatever. That created the first Dampier. Now you can make Dampiers when a Moroi mates with a Dampier. So a Moroi Dampier creates a Dampier. So it's still half human, half vampire.
So the mating between a vampire and a human only happened once to make the OG one, but it was taboo.
I can't confirm the kill count for you, but that was how the original Dampier was made.
Gotcha. What kind of insider information? How'd you get that? Because I watched the show and I didn't know that.
Yes, but I am Andre Dragomir, future king of the Dominion, so I know how to get down and make Dampier.
That is true. If I know something, I know Andre knows how to get down.
So that's how you make Dampier. Strigoi, I believe all Strigoi used to be Moroi. I don't think there's ever been anybody born Strigoi. I think they're all just converted, right?
Or Dampier or Moroi are Strigoi, because like Mikhail was a Dampier.
I'm sorry, yes, but that's because so he was turned. Right, because you can be turned. Yes. But to become like an organic Strigoi is Moroi, because you can feed to kill,
right?
Or you can feed to kill or die with their blood in your
I truly thought the queen accidentally killed the feeder and was like, I'm getting cold, fuck. Like, I'm turning Strigoi right now. And I was like, Lyssa is done for.
Yo, I didn't even think of that. That would have been crazy.
Yeah, they take it away really fast. They're like, it was poison.
You know what? Actually, speaking about the queen, so this also breaks my heart. So another cutscene. So the queen was supposed, or we filmed the scene where the queen dies with Andre. So it's one of the way it was written in the script, it's one of those like, the two stories are happening simultaneously the way they did in this edit, except Lyssa leaves and then Andre kind of enters, so like they kind of just miss each other is how that kind of thing was set up. And I'm only telling you this because Paul asked about how it was like working with Pixie, because we did have a final scene where it was Andre and the Queen, and the Queen passes away with Andre. But it was such a fucking cute scene, man.
They're cutting all the Andre Queen love.
I know.
We love just, it.
Well, makes me upset. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but it's, I know, but it's such an action packed finale. Like, there's so much shit going on. And also the problem with, or the trouble with bringing this random new character in, because essentially Andre's a brand new character, into your finale when you have already so many like intense storylines going on. It's really hard to keep like forcing the show back into this new character. Because I care about this for a second. And plus the way the scene with Lyssa and the Queen plays out, it's such a beautiful ending to that character. So
I have two background questions. One is really background. Were you in Spain the whole time, or are they flying you to and fro?
I was in Spain for the majority of the time. I came back for my wedding part two because of COVID.
Congrats and then, to our guy.
Thank you. Congrats.
And then, to Cam, of course.
And then I was there for the majority of the time, but that was also like an agreed thing between us, because traveling to Pamplona, Spain specifically, was such a pain in the ass, and especially with COVID. So I was just like, bro, just keep me here. I'll just live the Spanish life for fucking 6 months or whatever it is, and that's it. But yeah, it was a long stay for the
amount. That's amazing.
What was like your favorite thing to do for fun off the set while you were there?
I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. Not much.
Gotcha.
So here's the thing. So Pamplona is a fucking beautiful city, but it's a very old school European city, which means like they take their naps in the middle of the day, like the shops and shit. So like literally the entire town would shut down from like noon to like 6-7 p.m.
Wow.
And we're just like, what do we do? In the summer it was sick because like the cast, like we'd all go to the park or whatever and do something. But in the winter it doesn't snow, but it rains a lot, so we didn't really go out. So eating is my answer to your question. Eating.
There you go. Hey, I can relate.
And also card games, mostly with, oh my God, Mia, which her name is Mia in real life as well. And her husband, we got along all real well. Drew Liner. Oh my God, the whole cast, but, the three or the four of us really got hooked on this card game called Gambino. And bro, the amount of, I'm a professional. If I ever stop acting, I'm going to become a professional Gambino player.
I never heard of it.
Neither had I. And it's very confusing, especially to like, it's a very easy game to get once you start going, but to explain it, it's impossible.
Is that just with like deck of 52 cards, or is that like a specialty game? Like
No, gotcha.
I'll have to look that up. Yeah.
Regular deck. And also, I want it on record on some form of media that Mia's husband, Tom, or fiance, Tom, they got engaged during the show. Very exciting.
Nice.
He's a cheater at that game, and he never officially beat me fair and square one time. So
damn.
Now that is officially out there, I can rest easy.
We'll clip it. We'll send it to him.
Yeah.
Perfect. Just direct message. Who the fuck?
Just putting you on blast.
If, God forbid, season two never happens, you can always go on record as the champion of Gambino of card games, you know.
Undefeated, officially.
Yeah, there you go.
Until anyone on the cast comes out and claims otherwise, I am forever undefeated.
That's when I'm clipping, and then you're going to get absolutely bombarded with your castmates just being like, what the fuck? I want to talk quick about Remetri, because we definitely talked about Mason a little bit and how he was just kind of getting dicked over. I didn't think those two actually like broke up, and then Rose was making out with Dimitri. And I was like, oh shit, this is kind of, I was like, I don't know what to think here, because I'm a fan of both. I know that like the fandom is a Remetri house, right? Like they want that, but I'm fresh. I've never read a single line of a single book, not any book. So I don't know. And I'm easily like, you can sway me anyway. Well, first, Jason, what do you think specifically about the two, where we ended with this final scene with Dimitri and Rosa? You know, it was very cute. So what do you think?
I, first of all, to touch on Mason quick, that Drew Liner was in another one of those situations that's just tough for an actor, man, because like you're coming in for the most part, the book fans, loving Rose and Dimitri already. Mm-hmm. And now you got Drew. They're like, hey, go get him, buddy. It was literally, you know what it was fucking like? It was like coming in as Levitt with fucking Lincoln in the background. And then they decide to go and put Lincoln's paint on her face at the end. And I was like, bruh. I was like,
disrespect.
How do you compete with that?
You're just going to cuck me like this? I'm like, and then you want me to put it on? I almost had a heart attack.
That's Levitt erasure at its highest form.
I had a heart attack. Drew is in that same situation. And I think he did such a great job because you do it for Mason. But I think Rose and Dimitri are great. I think that they have a great chemistry. You buy it. It's hot. It's steamy. Yeah, I love it. But I will say, though, if we're being fair, Rose does Mason dirty.
Yeah.
Like that poor guy. Like she just immediately, she's like, oh, you don't want me right now? Okay, one second. Mason?
Yes.
Yep.
Used and abused.
Always happily like, yes.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
What's that? He's that too. Mason's the one. He's like, I'm never talking to her again. Huh? Oh, yes, I'm coming again. I'm coming.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
No, no. His back is broken or whatever.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, where's Rose? They're going to be like, dude, she dipped immediately. She doesn't even know you're alive.
Yeah. He's going to wake up. Oh, I can't wait to see Rose next to my hospital bed. And then it's someone completely different. And they're like, what happened? And Rose was like, oh, like you were in the hospital. So I went to go make out with Dimitri.
You know
so,
who they're going to have that? They need to bring in the Mason to Mason. You know, the girl that just like, loves Mason, but Mason's too busy to fuck Rose. They just got to introduce her next season.
That'd
as he's in bed just fuming and she's beside him like, yes.
Like, oh, sorry. Rose called. I got to go.
Yeah. But Rose and Dimitri are dope. I think Rose is a badass character. I really like Rose. I think, I would like to know how she is so powerful. Or sorry, how powerful is she? Because there's times where she just dummies Strigoi's like they're nothing, and then there's times where she doesn't. So I mean, maybe she just has like good days and bad days. Who knows?
Also, what's with her Spidey sense? Is that because it's not because of the link with Mia, right? Is it or is that?
I think it's a link with Alyssa. I thought.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant. That's what.
Get it right, Paul.
I'm so embarrassed.
I think I heard this somewhere, but if not, I'm just talking shit and this is a theory. I think it's because she died, so she can sense the dead.
That's hot.
Oh, that's cool.
That's so hot. That's hot.
Brian bought that so fast.
I'm gonna go with that's a theory. That way it's my idea. But I do think I heard that somewhere. I think she has the connection with Alyssa because of the crash, but then because she died and was resurrected, she can sense the death.
A little shadow kiss. Okay.
And if it's not what actually happened, then Julie Plath, you can use that. That's no problem.
Rewrite that.
Yeah. Writing credits, though. Writing credits.
Yeah.
Of course. Jason Diaz has to pop up twice on that thing.
We need the Jason Diaz cut, too, of all your cut scenes.
Agreed. Drop it on the Blu-ray.
I would love them. I haven't even seen them.
That was going to be my second question earlier. I was going to say, do you not know until the release of what got cut? That's so interesting. Yeah.
Well, no. So they had told me that. They didn't tell me that was cut, but they sent towards the end. They sent some like rewrites of the script, whatever, and then you could just see that it was cut. But it made it did it, like it like obviously it's a it big good, fancy yeah. speech. I was like, I want it to be shown, but like it was a very. Especially for that, like for the pilot, it was a very like content heavy speech. Like if you don't understand what's going on in the Dominion between the factions of like the air users and shit, then like you don't, it's like, it's cool. There's a speech and there's a guy doing a speech and it's fun, but like you don't understand what he's saying and it's confusing. Again, like if we do some sort of like flashback thing in season two, there's no saying they can't eventually show that scene.
That's what I was going to say. I have high hopes or high visions of season two opening with that speech and then just showing everybody. It was showing all the – because I was going to say that speech, if you're given, you know, literally the whole Dominion is there, all the representatives, that's one of the only times everybody's there in the room. So it would be really cool to show all those characters then and in their higher up positions, and then now, and just how like torn down everything is, and Strigoi this and Strigoi that.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a fun like little back and forth, like dick measuring contest between Andre, High Priestess Irene, and Marie Carter. You know who Marie Carter is, right?
Mm.
Marie Carter is the lady that Dane Zekles puts in front of her.
Yes.
The one that was always send the Strigoi out to the whatever.
Protect the royals.
Yeah. The one that Victor calls a monster.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a dick measuring contest between the three of us, because like they want to keep shit as it is, right? Like they are that like patriarchy of power, and they want to keep it that way. And then Andre's this dick who's like, nah, we should like share this shit. And so it was funny. It was like because the way it starts off is they kind of like try and check him in front of everyone, and then he just checks better. Script, so yeah.
That's awesome. That.
But yeah, hopefully they release that in some form, because I would love to see that.
How about everyone just assuming that Andre's dead even though there's no body? How about that?
out of the limo.
I'm going to be honest about this one. I'm going to be honest. I read this and I was like, no, I got nothing for this. I'm like, first of all, can we talk about, so this is what I've been saying all season. I'm like, can we talk about the fucking disrespect that Lissa wakes up in a fucking car accident and is like, oh, my brother, fuck that guy. Where's my friend? Oh yeah, let's go heal my friend. She's like, first of all, she doesn't care about Andre. She doesn't care about her mom. She doesn't care about her dad. She heals Lissa. That's down the road. I'm like, yo, this is just purposeful disrespect.
Conveniently forgets the entire thing, too. Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Crazy. And then maybe the Strigoi replaced, like, with, like, a burnt-up body or something.
Yeah. That was my only guess.
But we saw in the finale that they pulled Andre from the car, and then we didn't see them, like, replace a body. So maybe TBD. Maybe that's a to-be-continued plot.
I would like to think that they cover it's covered, you know, like we didn't see it, but there's a charred body there.
It made me feel better that they showed the Ozeros like taking you out of the car. That leads me to believe they were smart enough to put something back in, like a charred body or something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully, I mean, that's what I think. That's what I'm going with. They just put it. Like, I refuse to believe my Dominion buried two bodies and an empty pocket and was like, our future king, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Are we missing something?
Good enough.
Yeah, like, if I can name Lissa the queen or something, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Do you guys think that Lissa being framed for the queen is going to last longer than like the pilot? The premiere of season two. I feel like that's going to be like solved pretty quickly. It's just kind of why they have to get out of town right now type of deal.
I was going opposite.
Oh, really?
I was going to be like, that's going to be a season long thing. And yep. You know, Jason, you were talking about Julie Plec expanding the world. I mean, this was just going to be a whole nother adventure into, you know, the human world or wherever they're adventuring. And I pictured that going, you know, half of season two, maybe all of it, but yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that if I had to guess, I'd say they're probably going to keep them on the road for a bit. Because if it is discovered that Tatiana's full of shit right away, then she's going to lose the crown immediately because she lied. And also, she said she didn't want to be queen for long. So
yeah, I don't know
what she wants as queen. She wouldn't fucking answer Andre. He asked multiple times.
It was kind of rude, honestly.
It is disrespectful. Like, I answered so many of her questions. She didn't answer a goddamn single one of mine. Yeah, and then I think I think they're going to keep them on the road for a bit, and it's going to be a trying to prove Tatiana wrong kind of thing.
I like that. I was thinking in my brain that she could be exonerated without Tatiana being found out, because all they're saying is you're the last person with her. You're a person of interest.
That's true.
So I was just thinking, like, maybe she's exonerated so she can come back, but Tatiana, because they got to bring him back. Like, I can't imagine they're on the road for that long. We need some like kissing.
Yes.
The boys.
You got more you butts. Got none of the ships are together.
Exactly.
Literally Meredith and Mia, I think, is it. Yeah. I think that's it.
Which is a top Meredith, ship.
I mean, they can carry the romance scenes for a while. That's fine. But
they're great. No, they fucking
absolutely.
Yeah, they're great. I and it's all partly also because like the character Mia is such like a fucking funny like. You know, like her energy with Meredith is so good. She's such that she grounds me really nicely, which is fun. But yeah, other than that, Victor and I forgot his name.
Robert.
Where's
he been, by the way? He's just been gone the past couple of
Barry and his family.
Mia
had said that he had to go do something for like his job, even with all the shit going on. I think she said that in 9.
Yeah, Papa.
Yeah, it's correct. Papa had to leave. And so he's off doing whatever. And then the main ships are all separated. So you got to bring them back eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And also, has nobody mentioned the fucking goat line of the entire series, which is 2. And they both belong to Christian, by the way. The first one was in the pilot when he got where she's like, I wonder if you know the Maroi name for unicorn. And he's like, the Maroi unicorn is Lissa. I was like, and then again in the finale when she's like, can monks kiss? And this fucking guy's like, let's live dangerously.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, what?
It's killing it.
Like, that's my favorite ship right there. I ain't heard Dimitri say those smooth lines like this.
I agree, man. I was like the number one Dimitri fan, but I was almost being let down with what he was doing. And Christian was just flying past them. I love his reaction to Liz is just like, we're married. And he's like, oh, cool. That's cool.
He's like, I'm a monk.
It was perfect.
At first, I thought that was going to like negate the marriage. I thought they were going to be like, well, I'm a monk now, so I can't be married to you. I thought that's where it was going to go, but it seems like it could just be everything.
Unless it does still go there, because I don't know if anybody is officially aware yet that they are married.
Mm. Well, the high priestess being like, I decide who's a monk, and it's just like, it's you, take it. That was crazy. I was like, she's talk about goats. She's fucking.
That scene was fun. High Priestess Irene in that scene was hilarious. Like the look she gives him the moment he says, hey, I heard you lost the stake. She's like, this bitch.
I didn't fucking lose it. It got stolen. Yeah. All right, motherfucker.
Go find the bus. Like,
she was a badass too.
Yeah.
Sliced Estragoy.
That scene where she has to tell everyone to mate earlier in the season, also hilarious.
Yeah.
Do your duty is what they called it. And Jesse was like, all right, I'll fucking go do my duty.
Didn't the queen have a savage line there? Didn't the queen say like,
right before she was like, oh, you mean tell them to fuck more?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Behind doors. Yeah.
I love the F-bombs in this show. That's what separate the butts and the F-bombs separate this from a CW show. And
definitely the butts.
Yeah. We also graduated.
You know what I love the most about the butts or any sex scene that this show has had is the fact that they insist, and I love this, on smash cut sex scenes, bro. Fucking hilarious. You're just watching some like completely different scene with like Rose and Dimitri just like sweet talking each other, and then it's like
butts. Like, yeah,
it doesn't give you a chance.
Yeah, seriously, it throws you right into the sexual montage. No foreplay.
That's good stuff. This was a good show. How's working for Peacock? Peacock's like brand new. What's it like?
Yeah, it's great. Well, I mean, we shot in Spain, so like I don't know if it's different if you shoot out in the States with it or not. But it was great. I mean, it felt like the same as everything else.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was fun. I hope it's doing well. Like, I obviously in Canada we don't have Peacock. Did you know that Canada is on episode 7 right now?
What?
Wow.
The disrespect is so wild. We are on episode 7, and then also like. Because we are week to week release, and Peacock got the first 4 at once, and so you guys got off to a head start. Plus, we're on Sunday.
What do you watch on? What do they watch on?
Well, Canada, it's on the W network.
Mm. Oh,
okay. It's on the W network in Canada, and it's just a weekly release. And so, but I got like the press screening prior, so.
There you go.
I was going to ask, yeah.
Because if I was on episode 7, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, we want the season 2 screeners. Come on. We're getting them. We need Jimmy to get on his PR game and shake down Peacock for some screeners and for an ad-free login.
I'll just take the season 2 announcement for now.
Yeah, that's true.
If they want to just hurry up and announce it, that'd be great. I don't know what the timeline would be for a season 2.
I mean, go to Spain.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if we could get it out at the same time, but I find that hard to believe because we were already shooting this time last year.
Well, being in Spain and what you said, like hunkering down there for 6 months, it's also timing with like the actors and actresses, right? I mean, they have to be available unless there's a contract.
Yes, but there's a contract. So yeah. If you're like for television, right? Like when Vampire Academy calls, we are there.
Right? Yeah.
It's like cool, whatever you're doing, get the fuck over here. And you're like,
gotcha. That's funny. They were talking about going to Las Vegas last episode. Like, so who knows? They might be shooting in the U.S. a little bit.
And you saying that actually excites me as well because Andre can't go back through the wards, so he's not going to be at St. Vlad's, which means he will also be out in the human world. So that could be cool too. Shoot in some dope locations and stuff.
Playing Gambino in Vegas, chasing him down.
I'm gonna be teaching the Strigoi Gambino. That's how I'm gonna convince them to let me be the leader or whatever. So like, if I win this game, I am the captain now.
I love that. Did we miss anything in the episode? Because we kind of hopped around, but I thought we did a pretty good job.
We did. We hopped around.
I'm going through my notes.
You know, the one thing that I did want to bring up is that it was revealed Sonya's association with the birds is because she made like the same death pact with all of the birds because she brought them back to life. And that was a great explanation.
And that was a great moment.
Bird girl.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious. That the constant reference from Mia to Sonya about the fucking bird lady is hilarious.
Oh. Yeah. Episode 1, she's just like looking out the balcony talking to Victor. She just yells right at Sonya, "What's with the fucking birds?" But it's beautiful. I mean, I love it. It makes so much sense. I totally forgot about that scene where her and Mikhail are romancing, as Jason likes to put it. And she is just literally like rezzing a dead bird. I totally just put that out of my mind. So much sense. Which,
by the way, my man Mikhail, there are red flags, and then there is resurrecting a bird and having eyes go black, my guy.
Like, yeah.
Maybe you missed Tatiana that. Was right. Maybe there were signs this man was off his game.
Yeah, but the singing,
the voice of an angel, young Max Parker has. Wow. Also, was it like Old Maroi? He was singing in.
Yeah.
They showed us. Charming. They showed us that he could do it, and then fucking killed him that episode. So very nice.
Yeah. Do you guys like that? I keep dodging all these made up languages on these shows that I book.
Yeah.
Watch next year. They're going to be like Strigoi language. I'll be like, fine.
Wait, that's close. Amazing, Brian. This is for you, and actually, this is for you too, Jason. Yes, we recorded the finale of House of the Dragon last night, and randomly, Kyle brought up Tregeta slang, and first of all, I hadn't heard that in 2 years. When did the 100 rap, like, so long ago? And Tregeta slang, and what's the thing that Kyle used to say all the time that ended in like down? It was like he used to say that same phrase. I don't know if you, Jason, we definitely did it to you because I was like, I need to listen to that, Jason. When you came on to the penultimate episode 15 of the final season and did the recap like this. We definitely made Kyle do it. And when we had Sarah Thompson on, I made him do it to Sarah Thompson.
Did he not remember?
No, we couldn't remember. It's been 2 years since we said it. Yeah, so we were like, fuck.
It was a geese smack don or whatever.
Dude.
Get knocked down.
No,
I have no chance with these things, man. I've dodged them so far. And I'm like, yo, that's the biggest, that's most, you like, people don't even know the headaches they would have trying to get me to remember these fake languages.
Mm. Yeah,
without a doubt.
But they made up the whole language. There are 1,000% going to be fans that speak this shit fluently, And then they're going to come up to me at like conventions and they're going to speak. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I got no idea.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Millie Alcock, who played young Rhaenyra, she said that when she had to learn their like high Valyrian or whatever, she made it into like a song. Like she had to like think, like learn it as that. And then she could say it like, yeah. Normal. And then Emma, who plays old Rhaenyra, they said, like them and Damon or Matt Smith now have a secret language because they kind of learned it, you know? So sick. Yeah.
It is so sick. I just have like, that's a lot of work.
Oh my God. Yeah. Insane.
Like I just had to do an audition with like a heavy Spanish accent. And like, even just that, I'm like, bro, this is a real thing. And it's hard as shit. Like, never mind. It's a fake language and you're trying to teach yourself. No thanks.
Wait, you have to do a Scottish accent in something soon? Is that what you said?
Spanish.
Oh, Spanish. I think it's Scottish. I was like, damn
it. No.
I would pay to see that.
For a comedy. So that could be fun.
Outro.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. He's keeping it locks. I don't know
if you saw, I had that little mustache the other day.
Okay.
On my Instagram, I posted it. It's the most ridiculous little mustache I've ever
seen. I love that. Can't wait to see what it is.
Yeah, well, hopefully it pans out so I can like say something, because right now I can't say anything because over here I'm gonna get sued and not cast.
Well, we don't want to do that. Not at all.
Is it a new show? I'm guessing. I'm like, wait, where are you?
It's for a movie.
Oh, it's a movie. I was gonna be like Shorzy. I would start ripping Canadian shows.
Tasia.
Oh, I love that. She was. Did you watch season one?
I did. Yeah, that show was hilarious.
Yeah, it was so good. Brian, did you ever end up watching it?
I haven't. I'm waiting to pick it up. I love Letterkenny, as you know, but
she got Tasia got nominated for something in that. No,
it makes sense. She's just hilarious in it. So
she got nominated for like the Vancouver Film Awards or whatever.
Oh yeah, she's a big character in it. She's great, Brian. You'll
Tasia from
the 100.
Yeah. Yo. Okay. No, that's just great. Another draw for Shorzy. Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. Letterkenny is a 10 out of 10 show.
So. I never watched Letterkenny.
You watched Shorzy and not Letterkenny?
Yeah. Well, I watched Shorzy because of Tasia. I just checked it out.
Good friend.
And he's hilarious.
Oh my God. He's so good in Letterkenny. And he plays Shorzy in Letterkenny too, but you never see his face. That's like the whole bit.
I didn't know that.
If you've listened to our podcast, whenever Kathleen says "to be fair," it's a thing you have to go "to be fair" and say it all snooty like that's an inside joke from Letterkenny.
Yeah, amazing. Letterkenny is really good. I watched however many seasons. What was it, Brian? 10, 11 seasons.
10 in seasons.
10 days or something. But yeah, like not even.
It started as like a YouTube short, so they're only like 20 minutes tops the episode, so they're quick.
Mm-hmm. Yo, speaking of like 20 minutes tops, it's some episodes are actually a little longer, but have you guys seen Steve Carell's The Patient?
Yeah, I'm caught up.
I'm watching it actually.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
So cool. Did episode 10 come out yet?
Yeah, it's done.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I saw last. It's good and quick.
Yeah, and it's such a great concept.
Oh, yeah. Big time. I'm like, how the fuck's he ever getting out of that basement? Not even a spoiler alert. That's like literally the premise of the show within the first 10 minutes.
Steve Carell? How have I not heard of this? All I can think of is Gru from Minions whenever I think of Steve.
That's who you think of? When you
Well, I don't know. The internet fucking blew up with it.
When you see Steve Carell? Okay, yeah, he does do that.
But he has so many more iconic like roles, like of course.
Every time I think of Steve Carell, I still think of Anchorman.
Oh, Anchorman playing Brick.
Anchorman is still my go-to for Steve Carell.
I mean,
and to think like that, the majority of that was all improv. Like, dude, I get like anxiety outbursts when I think about like ever being on set. For like that kind of a shoot, I would never get through the day. Not a chance would I get through the day with these guys improvising all day. Like, well, if you see the behind the scenes of all those Anchorman movies, they have they're all just like pissing themselves as Will Ferrell is just going off on tangents.
It's literally
funny guys.
He never
funny.
Breaks.
I would never be able to do that either. It's just three minutes of keeping it together and then just like cracking up and then like, you know, three more minutes of getting it together.
It's hard enough when it's dialogue, like scripted dialogue, if it's delivered funny. It's hard enough not to laugh. Never mind when it's just improvised and you are not expecting whatever wild shit comes out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible. There's no way.
Well, that's when bloopers are king, right? Those kind of movies and shows, the bloopers are just out of control.
Yeah,
stupid shit people say. Well, we'll get to, we'll to get you on an improv movie or something. I'll get my agents on it.
You know what's actually funny? So Charmed, when I was on Charmed, they asked me to open a scene. I'm fine with it now, but they asked me to open a scene on Charmed improv. Bro, when I tell you like how quickly I get like anxious sweats when people like just improv the opening of this scene. I'm like, fuck. I was like, all right, fine. And then I always do it fine. Yeah. But I hate I've never felt like, oh yeah. I'm always just like, you're an idiot. Nice thing, bro. Because like when it's scripted, like I will say, because like I know some people who are like, oh, I don't like do this or this on camera or whatever. I'm down for whatever because it's scripted. I don't care. Like you can't call me an idiot. I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
But when it's improvised or like when you're doing something like this or like a late night show or something, and then it's like, no, if I say something stupid, that's me.
Yeah.
Like, that's me that said something stupid. So that's why I hate doing that shit.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. Like they're just, because I remember, like, you're just on set and you improvise something outrageous, especially if you're trying to be comedic. Sometimes just ridiculous shit comes out of your mouth. And then someone is just always there to be like,
Yeah. And just like, thank God for editing, because I would be in so much trouble with this podcast. Seriously. With the amount of bullshit that I just spit.
I know, dude, I'm telling you, there's times like when you're in the middle of riffing and you're like, oh shit. Like, the last 5 minutes is unusable.
Damn. Well, that always reminds me of like people who can't curse on these types of things, like Jenny Slate. I don't know if you know her from, like, she's Mona Lisa Saperstein on Parks and Rec, and she has a lot of good roles. She's a comedian. She was on SNL. And during her first season, she dropped an F-bomb and got fired. But you don't mean to, you know, it's like, it's too sec. Exactly. It's like, or like at this point, you're like, fucking whatever. And then you're just like, no, exactly. Like her career. And then she's great. She's fine. She's also Marcel the Shell, the voice of it, if that rings more of a bell.
I had no idea.
No, also no. But that is my exact fear. I'm like, you just say something, you're like, and there goes that. And then what do? You just awkwardly stare, like,
take it from the top.
You just stare at Jimmy Kimmel. You're just like,
you can cut that, right?
Is this live?
That's awesome.
All right, let's loop it back to Vampire Academy. What are our final thoughts? For me, I thought it was a great show. I was so pleasantly surprised by the show. I'm watching True Blood right now as well with my girlfriend. So it's vampire time. I just watched First Kill, which also was a vampire show, which got canceled, unfortunately, on Netflix. And this was like a breath of fresh air. I mean, it's different, right? All the elementalist shit, good love stories, good acting, amazing butts, as we've said. I thought it was great. I need this season to pick up. And that's my final thoughts. Y'all?
I loved it. I mean, I just see a complete war setting up between the Strigoi and the Moroi and the Royals and Dampiers. It's such a cool concept of how it's shaping up and where we started from season one to now. I mean, the ability to change characters, like not kill them off, but just completely change them into Strigoi, and then they're still in the show, but like completely different, is such a unique aspect. And it's so fun to think about. And that's all I see. I just see like Strigoi Andre, Strigoi Victor leading a Strigoi army with Tatiana against, you know, all these guardians trying to protect these royals. So I'm super excited and I can't wait to see what happens.
We'll save the best for last here and let Jason go last, but I couldn't agree more. I think we're all on the same page. I kind of went into this thinking, okay, vampire show, let's see what they got. And then by episode like two or three, I was just like, is it Thursday yet? Well, I'm sorry. They gave us the first four. So by episode five, I was like, is it Thursday yet? I need some more. I need answers to this. But like you guys were saying, like I was not ready for the political like savviness of this show. It's a Julie Plec show, so in season two I'm just expecting her to bust this thing wide open. And I want to say screw IMDb because the show's overall rating is a 6.2. And if you go into the episode by episode ratings, the lowest one is the pilot at a 7.0. Other than that, 7.7, 7.8. And by episode four, it's all 8 or above. The second half is all like 8.5 or above, which is like a solid, solid, solid show. Yeah. And the first season, they were just trying to get their footing. So like, this is a quality show, well deserving of a season two. And I think they have it locked and loaded for a great, interesting season two. So come on, Peacock.
The fix is out. It's obvious because we are the greatest vampire show that has ever hit the small screen.
Hey, man.
But no, obviously we appreciate that very much. And also, I'm very happy with it, man. I think there's enough in this show that like differentiates it from other vampire shows. Mm-hmm. Because there is a lot of vampire content. And there is, but ironically, there really isn't, at least in season one, there wasn't like a super focus on the vampire-y aspect of the show. Mm-hmm. Right? Like the Strigoi were the most vampire the show got, and they were just sprinkled in here and there. The rest of it was the romance, and the rest of it was the political drama and everything going on with Spirit and all that, which is another strength of the show. Because if you're someone that loves the romance and all that kind of stuff, then we certainly have that. Mm-hmm. And if you're not so much into that, and you're like, we have the political storyline and then all the action in the show as well. So yeah, I think everyone nailed it, man. I think it's great, and I'm very excited about where it leaves off for episode two, or for episode two, for season two.
So pick us up, Peacock. What the fuck?
Hell yeah,
my dudes, my girls. Let's pick it up.
Yeah, I wish I had a surprise official announcement here. But
could you imagine if you drop that on Instagram?
Also, could you imagine they give it to me to drop? Not Lissa, fucking calm down the call sheet to Jason to announce.
I love
the
that.
The renewal of season two.
Wow, I can't wait. I have a feeling it's coming soon. It's got to come soon. They've got to make a decision. So
I would hope so. I would. I was hoping they would announce it before the pilot drop, because that's always fun when a studio. When you get into a show knowing that there's more coming, but now that it's done, hopefully, because I don't know what goes into those decisions, so hopefully they look at whatever metrics they need to, and then get back. I mean, the sooner the better would be much, much appreciated. They could just announce it.
Yeah, maybe they're waiting for like Canada and the other countries to finish, because I don't know about the other countries as well. Maybe they're just waiting for them to wrap it up and see how it lands and et cetera. Like the viewership and stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know how much Peacock, I have no idea. Like, because Peacock is American exclusive, they might be focusing on specifically on what the American numbers are. But yeah, hopefully.
I'm keeping it on a repeat, trying to get those numbers up then. Yeah, really. I'm getting that season too.
I have seen this season so many times, it's ridiculous.
I love that. You're a fan. I love that you're a fan of the shows you're on.
I'm a fan of the shows that I'm on for sure, but also a lot of it is I've seen the season quite a few times, but like episodes 9 and 10, I've seen like 100 times. You guys understand? But because I get super OCD over my own performances, so I sit there and drive Kimberly crazy. like this girl can recite episode 9 and 10 to you for sure.
I love that.
Or at least my scenes anyway. Not by choice.
Well, that is the episode, right? That was our episode 10 coverage, the finale, praying for a season two. Thank you, Jason, for joining us. Always a pleasure. Yeah. Can't wait to have you back and do your whatever accent you're doing, Scottish, Spanish, whatever it is. Can't wait
the
to
mustache.
Have you back for every show you're ever on for the rest of time. You know, we're a fan. We, you know, we're covering it. That's the thing.
100%.
So, but yeah, we are Binge Town TV. Thanks for listening.
And thank you, Jason.
There you go. And thank you, Jason.
Of course.
Yeah, I cut that. I cut that one short.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.